Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves, text number 51. Atmadi Stamba Parayan Yantara Mortimad Bis Characharai Ritya Gitad Yane Karhi Hai Pritak Pritak Upasita Atma Adi Stabha Paryantai. From Lord Brahma to the insignificant living entity. Murti Madhi. Assuming some form. Chara acharai, both the moving and the non-moving. Nritya Gita Adi Aneka Arhai. By many varied means of worship, such as dancing and singing. Pritak Pritak. Differently. Upasita, who were being worshipped. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All beings, both moving and non-moving, from the four-headed Lord Brahma down to the most significant, insignificant living entity, had taken forms and were differently worshipping those Vishnu Murtis, according to their respective capacities, with various means of worship, such as dancing and singing. Purport. Innumerable living entities are engaged in different types of worship of the Supreme, according to their abilities and karma. But everyone is engaged. Jivara Srupahoy, Krishnara Nityadas. There is no one who is not serving. Therefore, the Mahabhagavata, the topmost devotee, sees everyone as being engaged in the service of Krishna. Only himself does he see as not engaged. We have to elevate ourselves from a lower position to a higher position. And the topmost position is that of direct service in Vrindavan. But everyone is engaged in service. Denial of the service of the Lord is Maya. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabha Vritya Yari Yache Nachaya Se Taiche Kare Nritya. Only Krishna is the Supreme Master and all others are His servants. As Krishna desires, everyone dances according to His tune. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 5, 142. There are two kinds of living entities, the moving and the non-moving. Trees, for example, stand in one place, whereas ants move. Brahma saw that all of them, down to the smallest creatures, had assumed different forms and were accordingly engaged in the service of Lord Vishnu. One receives a form according to the way one worships the Lord. In the material world, the body one receives is guided by the demigods. This is sometimes referred to as the influence of the stars, as indicated in the Bhagavad Gita 3.27 by the words Prakrite Kriyamanani. According to the laws of nature, one is controlled by the demigods. All living entities are serving Krishna in different ways, but when they are Krishna conscious, their service is fully manifest. As the flower in the bud gradually fructifies and yields its desired aroma and beauty, so when a living entity comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, the beauty of his real form comes into full bloom. That is the ultimate beauty and the ultimate fulfillment of desire. So the text again. Atmadi stava paryantara Murtimadvis Characharai Rityagitad Yanekarhai Pritak Pritak Upasita. All beings, both moving and unmoving, from the four-headed Brahma down to the insignificant living entity, had taken forms and were differently worshipping those Vishnu Murtis, according to their respective capacities, with various means of worship, such as dancing and singing. The question may be raised, Brahma, how is he worshipping Krishna? Well, here it explains. Does that, Mukunda, you know? It says that all beings moving, both moving and unmoving, from the four-headed Brahma, Lord Brahma, down to the most insignificant entity, had taken forms and were differently worshipping those Vishnu Murtis. According to their respective capacities, with various means of worship, such as dancing and singing. Was Lord Brahma dancing or was he singing? How is he worshipping Vishnu? That was a different Brahma in a different time. Well, because it says that everyone's worshipping Krishna. Yeya tamam pravadyante tam sataiva bhajamyam mama vartmanu vartante manusha partha sarvashaha. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Kunti. So everyone is worshipping Krishna at every moment. Savasijaham ridhi sanavishto matsak smritir gyanam aponam cha vedais cha savarham eva vedyo vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. I am situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. I'm the compiler of the Vedas, and I know the Veda as it is. So everyone, all living entities, are receiving knowledge from Krishna. And everyone, according to their intelligence, they're serving Krishna. And everyone is forgetfulness either of Krishna or of Maya. Everyone is receiving knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness from Krishna. And when Krishna tells us to do something, we have to do it. Either through the modes of material nature, sometimes they call it the call of nature. So who can deny the call of nature? Everyone is following the instructions of the nature. Or everyone is offering obeisances to Krishna. If they don't do it in their present form when they're alive, they do it at the time of death. Everyone bows down to Krishna at the time of death. So everyone is worshipping Krishna. Some people know it and some people don't know it. It says in the Krishna book that everyone is dancing with Krishna. Those who are dancing in harmony with Krishna, they're dancing in his rasa dance. And those who are dancing trying to imitate Krishna, they're dancing with Krishna's maya. The whole world is full of Krishna singing, but everyone's understanding it in a different way, that's all. Everything is Krishna singing. So to become Krishna conscious means to be in harmony with Krishna's desires. Then Krishna, one comes closer to Krishna, and when the spark is closer to the fire, then it becomes illuminated. It gets more and more bright. Even when it's away from the fire, it's still a spark, but not so bright. So the question is whether we want to be away from the fire and imagine ourselves to be something that we're not, namely this body and things in relation to the body, or we want to be in the fire with Krishna. We want to be in relationship with Krishna and therefore experience our actual identity, spiritual identity, and our spiritual purposes and spiritual consciousness, spiritual desires. It's artificial when the spark is covered with rust. Or I say, when the iron filling is covered with rust, it's artificial. The natural position of the iron filling is to be free from the rust. But when it's covered with rust, it's not attracted by the magnet. But when the rust is uncovered, then the attraction is natural. Similarly, we're naturally attracted to Krishna, but when we're covered by the three modes, that attraction is not experienced. So Krishna consciousness is simply the coming back to our original consciousness, and that depends upon simply our desire to become Krishna conscious. That's all. Everything is just based upon desire. And the process is simple. Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadeshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they've seen the truth. So the process is submissive inquiry and service. And part of that service is, as Krishna says, three things. Humility, tolerance, and appreciation. Humility in relation to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Sarabhutasamatmanam, sarabhutanichatmani, ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshana. The true yogi observes me in all beings and sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me the same Supreme Lord everywhere. So one who is able to understand how Krishna is directing the wanderings of all living entities, and therefore everything that the living entity does is by the will of Krishna. Therefore, one naturally doesn't hate anyone or hate any being. From Sri Ishupanishad. Does anyone know that Ishupanishad verse? We used to have. Ishupanishad used to be much more popular than it is. I don't have a cold. Ishupanishad? Neither hates anyone nor any being. Everyone knows the Ishavasham Idam Sarvam Chat Kinchat Chikat Cham Jagat. Tena tena bunji daha magri daha kasha swidana. But does anyone know this verse? Shri Ishupanishad. Yes tu sarvani bhutani atmaneva nipashyati sarvuteshu chatmanam tito yad tito no na vigupsyate. He who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and who sees all living entities as parts and parcels and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything never hates anyone or any being. Anyone here ever hate anyone or any being? At least one devotee. So, one who's in love with Krishna, one who's conscious of Krishna, he can see how everything Krishna does is perfect, perfectly out of love, and for the benefit of all living entities. Krishna doesn't do anything which is not for the benefit of all living entities. Because Krishna has nothing to gain or lose. He only works for the benefit of everyone. So one who sees that, he sees that every activity is perfect, except for his own. That feeling that he's not perfect is the only thing that makes spiritual life exciting. If we thought we were perfect, everything we were doing was perfect, there would be nothing to do, nothing to strive for. So, if one is actually in love with Krishna, of course Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so compared to Krishna, who are we? What can we offer to Krishna? It's not that Krishna is in the spiritual world lamenting, oh, when Mukunda Prabhu will finally come back, then I can be happy again. No, without us, the spiritual world is going on quite well. But we have the opportunity to offer our little part and increase the happiness of the spiritual world. Although a drop of water may not be much to offer to the root, but it's something. And the root will appreciate it. So, one who can see everything in relation, see that everyone is an expansion of Krishna, and Krishna is all good, so the soul is all good. And even the modes of material nature, how they work, are also good, to fulfill the living entity's desire to forget Krishna and to imagine something. Now we may say that some activities are quite bad. Yes, anything that's not helping us remember Krishna is bad for us. But whatever we do is service to Krishna, that no activity goes on without under the control of the modes of material nature. No karmic activity goes on without the control of the modes of material nature. And the modes of material nature are working under time, kala. And kala is Krishna. Kalosmi Bharatarshiva. So Krishna is fulfilling is everyone's desire and the results of his activities perfectly. So he thinks himself to be slain, or himself the slayer, does not understand. But the self slays not, nor is slain. Does anyone know where that came from? Good guess. And what's the verse Krishna says about false ego? Yasya na hankrita bhavo buddhi yasya na lipyate advati savima lokan ahanti na nabhadite. Actually, it's English, I can't. When I get perfect. That one who acts without false ego. One who's not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his action. So one who works in Krishna consciousness as an instrument for Krishna, like Arjuna, he's actually not doing anything. This is all being done by Krishna. He's only desiring to be an instrument for Krishna. And it's not that he just sits there, I want to be an instrument for Krishna, I want to be an instrument for Krishna. No, it's a natural, flowing, spontaneous desire. And whatever he is involved in, the desire flows along. In other words, as he working as an instrument of Krishna, he naturally appreciates everything Krishna is doing, either through him or and everyone else, that the ultimate objective is love and happiness. Therefore, his desires are naturally dovetail with Krishna's desires. That way he's an instrument. He doesn't deviate from any desire outside of Krishna consciousness because he doesn't see any value to any desire outside of Krishna consciousness. Just like if you're hungry, you don't see any purpose in eating a shadow. Anyone see a shadow of a gulab-jamun and get hungry? Think, oh, if only I could eat that shadow, things would be really good. No one realizes, what's the point of eating a shadow? There's no point, there's no taste. Let me eat the real thing. So one who's awake in Krishna consciousness is actually experiencing actually service to Krishna and love for Krishna. He doesn't become attracted to anything which is not Krishna conscious in relation to Krishna. Nor does he think anyone apart from Krishna. Nor is it, as it says, yukta. Yoga yukta vishadatma vijitatma jitendriya sarva bhutatma bhutatma korvanapni lilipyate. That one who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. So yoga yukta, our only business is to try to become connected with Krishna. And the more we do that, the more steadily we do that, and the more we're willingly, enthusiastically doing it, then the more Krishna gives intelligence, the dhammi buddhi yogam tam, to see things properly. And that seeing things properly means to experience things properly also. To see everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. If we read Bhagavad Gita, there's not a whole lot of different philosophy. There's simply the same philosophy seen from a different angle. Vidya Vinaya Sambhane Brahmani Govi Hastani Shuni Chaiva Svapake Icha Pandita Samadarshana. And before that, Vidya Vinaya Sambhane Brahmani. Tadbuddhas Tadatmanas Tadnishtas Tadparayanaha Kachatnyapuna Avritim Kyanir Nirduta Kamasha. One's faith, one's mind, one's intelligence, one's refuge are all fixed in the Supreme. Then one becomes fully cleansed of all misgivings through complete knowledge. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Swapake Cha Pandita Samadarshana. That the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahmin, the cow, the elephant, the dog, and the dog eater. So here it's this verse, sarva-bhuta-stam-atmanam, sarva-bhuta-nichatmani, ikshate yoga-yukta-atma, sarvatra-samadarshana. The true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So the same thing is expressed in Machita Machkata Prana Bodhi and Deshpura. Oh, Krishna says, Aham Savasya Pravo Matak Saram Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvita. Where does that come from? Not from Time Magazine. Where did Krishna say that? Aham Savasya Pravo Matak Saram Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. Mukunda. Mukunda Madhava. What's that? You're close. Well, you're not that far away. In terms of chapter. What's that?
10th chapter.
Yes, so we've narrowed it down to the 10th chapter. Which verse?
I never remember.
That's not the verse. There's no such verse. Who knows? It's between 1 and 42. To give you a hint. What's that?
I'm the source of everything.
You're not the source of everything. Mishra is the source of everything. From him the entire creation flows. The wise who know this perfectly engage in his service and worship him with all his heart, with all their hearts. It's verse number 8. So that's the beginning of the Chatur Sloki verses of Bhagavad Gita. Within that verse, those four verses, the whole Bhagavad Gita is there. And then not machita machkata prana bodhyantash parashparam katayantasramam nityam tu shanti cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me, their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So we're quote, preaching about Krishna consciousness. Why? To encourage ourselves to utilize our prana and our chitta in Krishna's service. Our energy and our consciousness. Chitta is consciousness, prana is our energy. Krishna's service. And the result is, the more we do that, the Dhammi Buddha Yogam Tam. And here is perfection, is to see when we use our body, our mind, our words, our intelligence, our faith, our refuge, everything in Krishna's service, then we see how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. We become conscious of Krishna. Everything becomes non-different from Krishna, and everything becomes tasteful and pleasurable. Then, tesham eva nukambharata mahama gana jamdamaha nasham yam yapabhavashto gana dipena pashvata. That Krishna not only gives us realization, but we also personally see Krishna. I had a compassion for them. I dwell in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So the more we utilize the intelligence Krishna is giving us in his service, and part of that is humility. To understand that we're not separate from Krishna, we're dependent on Krishna, and we're always infinitesimal. Now we may think, Prabhupada talks about impersonalism so much, you wonder, oh, come on, you know, I've been in the movement for so many years, I'm not impersonalist. Maybe for a few minutes during the day we're not impersonalist. The rest of the day I'm independent, powerful, and happy. I'm the doer. I don't need Krishna. I'm the Lord of everything on my desk, at least. No, actually, at every moment, we're always dependent upon Krishna. Whatever we're doing, we can't do anything without Krishna's energy, without his desire, without Krishna's sanction, although he allows us to do sometimes things that are not outside of Krishna consciousness, but even that, we depend upon Krishna for that. Therefore, compassion begins, Krishna's compassion is invoked, first of all, by humility. How can Krishna be compassionate to us? Of course, Krishna is always compassionate. But if we're competing with Krishna, trying to be Krishna, then how can Krishna show his compassion? Compassion is shown to an inferior. But if we think we're equal or above Krishna, then Krishna can't manifest his compassion. And then further, by tolerance. Whereas in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about, Prabhupada talks about, you probably wouldn't know that same verse, Bhagavad Gita 4:34. Was Bhagavad Gita 4:34, which I quoted? Yes. And what does Prabhupada talk about? Pass the test. What does he say about passing a test? What happens? You get an A or a B or a C or.
And the spiritual master is giving us spiritual knowledge.
Yeah, that's a good paraphrase. Yes.
Can I do the translation?
I can't hear you.
Just try to remember the truth by approaching this. Can I say the
translation? Yeah, go ahead. Yes, sorry. So, one has to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual knowledge. So genuine desire for what? And what does it mean to pass the test? What kind of test? Anyone here ever have a test in Krishna consciousness? Everything is smooth and we get up in the morning and we ride waves of ecstasy into Mangalarti. We just float into Mangalarti in a wave of ecstasy. Anyone ever experienced anything except for that? When's the last time you rode a wave of ecstasy into Mangalarti? Yeah, every moment we're faced with the test. Tolerance. The body doesn't feel good. We don't like these people we're with. The weather's not perfect. Something, you know, the food wasn't exactly what I wanted. I ate too much or ate too little, whatever. And then we forget Krishna. We blame him. Why didn't you tell me? We put our head on the pillow to take a nap. And we tell Maya, Maya, I only want to take a nap for 5 minutes. And Maya says, no problem, I'll wake you up. Then an hour later, we wake up. Wait a second, what happened? Maya, you didn't wake me up. I fell asleep myself. It's Krishna's fault. Don't blame me. He put me to sleep. He's the controller. No one has to learn how to tolerate one's misconceptions. Or always being right. And when we're not right, when things don't go the way we want, we're a victim. Someone has to become tolerant. Then one can appreciate what's going on, how everything is under Krishna's control and everything is perfect. Krishna is an absolutely good person, and therefore everything he does is good. That's called appreciation. Full appreciation. And then one becomes a pure devotee, and therefore a pure devotee sees everyone being engaged in Krishna's service, but he feels himself inadequate. He can't do very much for Krishna. Therefore, whatever love and appreciation service he's doing, he realizes only by the grace of his spiritual master and the simple succession in Krishna. Therefore, he always feels himself to be useless. Although he's fully in love with Krishna and everyone. So therefore, humility and love go together. You can't have love without humility. You can't have humility without love. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Microphone.
Hare Krishna. Because you said in the beginning that everything is according to Krishna's desires, how can we see this security guard who comes to kick me out? Acting according to Krishna's desires.
Well, unless Krishna told them to come and kick you out, they wouldn't know that you were there. They wouldn't even know you were there. So Krishna wants you to go somewhere else. Otherwise, why would Krishna tell them? Either we became puffed up, and when Krishna wanted to make us humble, wanted to increase our desire. Well, why does Krishna sometimes, he's going to meet Srimati Radharani and some other gopi stops him. So it's also Krishna's arrangement, because Krishna fulfills all desires. So unless it's not that the security guard comes and we give up our desire to spread Krishna consciousness. No, we should strengthen it. Because now we realize that there are obstacles. So the obstacles are actually their inspirations to become more fixed, more determined, not to just give up. Oh, the demons are so strong. Why should I fight them? Let me surrender. Maybe I should become a security guard. They're more powerful than Krishna. No, it's an opportunity to strengthen our resolve to spread Krishna consciousness. And next time, be a little more careful. Only get people coming out. Only stop people coming out, not the people coming in, so they can complain. Watch out for cameras. Anything else? Well, Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.